Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, or if you have an outline, you can read it here. I'm reading, but I will say that I'm reading from the King James, the New King James here, Isaiah 40. And this scripture's been on my heart for a while, and so I just felt like, let's look at this, see what kind of insights God has to say to us today. So, Lord, would you open the eyes of our heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Give us the ability to hear your voice. Receive what you're giving in Jesus' name. Isaiah 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Very familiar passage, and we probably are aware that this passage shows up in the New Testament, and we'll cover that in a moment. But Isaiah, one of the major prophets, and his name actually means the Lord saves. He had a really hard ministry. He had to preach judgment upon really the entire nation, but specifically the southern kingdom. And then but what's wonderful about chapter 40 in that massive book, you start to take a turn and you start to see God's salvation. He starts to talk about the restoration of Israel. And in this passage right here, he actually prophesies the coming of the Messiah. He prophesies 400 years before he prophesies. And there are so many other prophecies, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53, that are messianic, powerful prophecies. But this prophecy in particular is something that was picked up by John the Baptist. And in every one of the Gospels, we read that John the Baptist says these words. He's out in the desert. You know, John is an interesting guy, isn't he? I mean, Jesus said there's none greater that's been born than John. And then he makes a puzzling statement, he's the least of those that are in the kingdom of heaven. I just want to say at the outset, John probably was really technically the last Old Testament prophet. He was right in between the two testaments, and he was announcing the new, and he was even, and I'll say this too, Jesus said, if you can hear this, John was operating in the spirit of Elijah. So John was calling the nation. And just a little bit more about John. John was, his father was Zachariah, I guess, and his mother, Elizabeth. Elizabeth was related to Mary, Jesus' mother. So he was kind of in this spiritual family. And what's interesting is his father got a visitation from an angel saying, you're going to have a son, he's going to be powerful, he's going to turn the nation back to God. And Zechariah had trouble believing it. And so what happened is he was struck dumb, he couldn't speak. And then when Elizabeth had the baby, and they wondered, what do we want to name him? And he wrote down, his name is John. And then his deafness was released. And the only other thing I want to say about that is that really we don't hear a lot about John's childhood, John the Baptist's childhood. We have this one verse, Luke 1:80, and it's kind of like, if you think about this as a parent, okay? Now the child grew and was becoming strong in spirit, And he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. What I believe actually happened is that John's parents, he was in the priesthood, I believe, I've done some research, this is just a little sidebar, that they gave their son to be raised by another priesthood, so to speak, the Essenes, who lived in the deserts of Israel, and it was in the place called Qumran. 22 copies of the book of Isaiah found at this site. So the Lord had prepared John, and you know what happens? When God's getting ready to move, there are people who have a sense that the time is now. God is about to do something. And we've been hearing lots of things about that in the body of Christ. And so I think there's kind of a parallel there. But let's pick this up in Luke chapter 3. This is also on your outline. Chapter 3, verse 2. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be lowered. The crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of our God. You know, I read that in ancient times, when there was a king that was coming to an area, he would send somebody ahead, someone to herald, to announce his coming. And he would actually be saying things like, the herald would go around the city and go before the leaders of the city, telling them, the king is coming, he will be here any day, so clean up your lives. Make sure you are all in obedience to the king's commands. And, you know, there was that ancient tradition, but it's interesting that John, after being around, I believe, the Essenes and their hallowed, respect, I'm thinking of a better word, but anyway, how they revered the word of God, that I'm sure that he read and had heard the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, many times. But it said the word of the Lord came to him. There was a moment when he knew that he had to move away from the Essenes and begin his ministry at the Jordan River. So I could get lost talking about that. So I'm going to make an agreement that I will not do that. So John was a forerunner of Jesus. And you know, as I've written here, his message is one of repentance and preparation for Christ's coming. So his call is to repent and be baptized. And I just put this, you probably heard this, but repentance just means to change your mind. And some of the Old Testament words, to turn, return, and also change your mind, is found in Old Testament words that are translated repent, and some of those words in your Bible are translated return to the Lord, but it's the same type of understanding when you read it. And baptism is a symbol that shows death to your past and being raised to a new life for the future. So I want to go through this, and I just want to say that I believe the Lord would speak to us today through this. And so we want to take this verse by verse. As we read, John says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And then he says, every valley or every ravine shall be filled in, or every valley shall be exalted. What does he mean? Let me ask you a question. Do you think John was actually talking about the topography of the land in Israel and hoping that through his preaching that there would be some mountains and hills that would be lowered and that there would be some ravines that would be filled in? I think we know the answer to this. He was speaking to the condition of our hearts. And I believe this still has tremendous power for us today. As we look at this on the other side, John was preaching here about the new covenant that was coming. And even those of us who are here in the new covenant, in Christ, we can receive some significant insight from looking at this. So every valley shall be exalted. I call that unbelief. And I don't have the Hebrew and Greek words, but just take my word for it. I was looking at some things. That valley in there that's represented there, both in Isaiah and when it's requoted by John, it doesn't mean this lush, green valley, just beautiful. What it means is it's more of a precipice or ravine that's kind of a drop-off. And I think the word every ravine will be filled. So what are ravines? What are those low places in our life? I say they're places of unbelief. Places that we go, God could never use me. I'm stuck where I'm at. I'm not good enough. Sometimes people, I've said this before, sometimes people just have something in ministering to people that's a phrase that they feel like is over their life, not good enough, never enough. And the Lord wants to fill in that ravine, those ravines in our lives. Valley represents places of unbelief. An unbelief can either manifest, it can manifest in feelings of self-hatred, self-pity, insecurity, guilt, inferiority, and the list can go on. The low places in our lives keep us limited. Low places keep us limited. And I had some scriptures here from Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I really believe these valleys exist because we really haven't fully embraced who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High. So here's the thing. Most of the time there's a valley. What has happened is the person, all of us in those places, those valley places, have believed a lie. So all those things, I'm not good enough, all those things are just simply lies that we believe. And we learn those lies different ways. Some of the ways we learn the lies is because people have told us those lies. People have wounded us. So when I say, hey, just get over it, I totally am very well aware that these ravines, these valleys, are not just like, hey, go, you know, here's the scripture, got it? There has to be a revelation that I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That God has, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, to give you a future and a hope. And I would just say most of us don't resolve any of these issues that we're going to talk about here today by yourself on your own. That really wasn't the New Testament model. It's just not the model, period. So there is the sense of others that are helping us walk through these places of filling in these ravines, these places, this drop-off, this jagged, dangerous places. And so I just encourage you that God can get you and take you to a place where he can fill in. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. And I just think coming to know his love. We don't have to perform. We don't have to earn his favor. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are already righteous. Does that phrase really mean, that word really means nothing is broken, nothing is missing. So I just want to speak that over you today. Nothing's broken, nothing's missing. God can and will fill in that ravine in your life. And it says every mountain and hill brought low, and of course I believe that's the exact opposite. That's pride. The mountains and the hills represent pride. And pride can manifest, and these lists, believe me, aren't exhaustive. These are just things that there's a lot more you could say. It can manifest in attitudes of superiority. I'm better. I know more. Criticism. You're a very critical person. So then sometimes I go, oh, then this would be pride. Okay, good. Glad I realized that's what I'm doing there. Unteachableness. It's like, you know, well, and conceit, just like, you know, self-focus, you know, selfishness. Selfishness works for high and low. Some of these things are, some of these emotions are equal on the mountain or in the valley. And then it really gets complicated because sometimes pride is masking a low place. So it's like, man, I can't even sort through that. What you have to do is the Holy Spirit can help you sort through it. You know, I had this experience recently. There's an acquaintance I have who's a musician and doesn't go to this, not involved in this church. But we were sitting down eating. I was eating dinner, and this musician said, really great musician. He said, you know, I've been experiencing personal revival in my life. And he started talking. He's listened to a pastor that's really impacted him. And then he said, you know, I felt like the Lord told me to quit trolling people on Facebook. And he would make comments that would just kind of like be out there to kind of put a zing on somebody. You know what I mean? And stir people up. And really, I thought about it. You know what he was doing? He was making way for the Lord. And there were mountains and hills that were being leveled in his life. Mountains and hills of pride. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing when we just, you know, I think there should just be a yes in our spirit. Yes, Lord, I hear, you know, it's just like whatever the Lord reveals to us, that's not who I am. That's not who Christ is. In fact, the scripture says, I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander must be removed from you, along with malice. Then it says, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That almost seems the opposite to me of pride. It's the opposite spirit. Here's one thing you can do. You can respond in the opposite spirit. And you can say, rather than pride, I'm going to respond with, I'm going to follow my leader, Jesus. Jesus is my model. The scripture says that even though he was equal with God, he didn't count that. He didn't strive for that, but he came in the form of a servant, and he humbled himself even to death on the cross. So I think that the Lord would say, these mountains of pride have to come down. These hills of pride have to come down, because otherwise people can't walk on this highway. There's a great big mountain of pride in the way, and you're sitting there zapping people on Facebook, and what you should be doing is saying, you know, pray for my friends, you know, but won't have that prideful attitude. Then it says, the crooked places shall be made straight. And crooked places obviously reflect a sin pattern. patterns of sin that we can struggle with in our lives. It's a crooked place. In fact, the Hebrew word translated in this verse as crooked is agab, and it is used only 3 times in the Bible. Besides this reference in Isaiah, it is used once in Jeremiah 17:9, where it describes man's heart. The heart is deceitful, agab, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So let me just say this. Any sin pattern, can I just be redundant? You're going to need some help from the body of Christ to get through that sin pattern. Now, there can be times, I'm not saying that, there can be times we can move through things by just allowing the Lord to, there can be some profound things that happen with us and our relationship with God. But there needs to be a transparency with the Lord in our life, not hiding from God, not segmenting these rooms off as, Lord, you know, this rest of my life is spiritual, but this part right here is segmented off. And really, there needs to be praying for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. You know, I do believe the prescription for hidden sin is actually this simple. To start with, bring it into the light. Don't stay in a dark place with a hidden sin. It's not the kingdom way. It's not what Jesus calls us to do. He says, just pray for one another, confess. When we were listening to the first Soul Care video, and Dr. Rob Reimer said, I make it my goal that I'm going to have no secret sin in my life. I want to be able to confess to someone. I want to have people in my life that I can talk to who can pray for me. And so I would just say that's God's desire. He does not want one crooked place to remain in our lives. And this phrase here, for it will become a dangerous turn in God's freeway. And then I want to go on to the next part here, and the rough places plain. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is iron sharpens iron. You know, there's rough places in our life. But how many of you know that when we start getting in fellowship, rightly positioned with other believers in some way, Bible study, I don't care if it's neighbors that are believers, just some, I'm saying open up your mind on what kind of connection that could be. Certainly right here in this body and other people, that what happens is there are rough places in our lives, right? And that uneven ground is not really good ground to travel on a highway. It's kind of like, whoa, this, you know, just trying to walk through this because there's these rough places in you, you know. And what's God's prescription? It says iron sharpens iron. And then really the New Testament sheds a further light on it. But speaking the truth in love, we are all to grow up. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. So there's a sense that we're open to what the Lord is saying to us through another. But that presupposes that we will speak the truth in love. So I would encourage each of us to be willing to do that. You know, those are some scriptures that honestly, I sometimes feel like I tell people, nobody does this. I mean, and then I go, well, wait a minute, I'm just being sarcastic, but it's not done enough in the body of Christ. And sometimes it's hard to do that. It feels challenging. It feels like, wow, I don't want to be that guy or that gal. But I just want you to know, as you speak the truth in love to someone and I really mean in love, there can be transformation that happens that brings about this powerful result of the uneven places, the rough places being made plain. I think right now, I just felt like this is on my heart. I feel like even right now in our country and in the body of Christ, we need to be able to also rightly discern the body of Christ. And I believe there's a lot going on, but one of the many things going on is God's taking us deeper as the body of Christ into loving and extending ourselves to close the divide, the racial divide in the body of Christ. And as I think sometimes we go, well, man, I can't go for this thing that, okay, it could be unpopular, but here we go. I can't go for critical race theory because that's Marxist. But I still want to see racial reconciliation. And so I think we don't want to be, we want to pursue unity in the body of Christ. We want to be open to this new thing that God is doing where he's bringing racial unity. And in the midst of all the people who may be trying to actually create division, we want to see unity. We want to see an increased sense of unity. So we want to be sensitive, and we want to just say, Lord, would you do in me what you want to do in me so that there is this greater sense of joining together and these rough places of disunity, rough places of prejudice, rough places of not rightly discerning our brothers and sisters who are of different race. I believe this is a season where that's happening and it's going to happen. And there's so many things that are being pushed that cause you to say, oh, I'm out on that, you know. But we can't be out on this because that's at the same time God's doing something, there is also the enemy trying to create division. So I hope you understand my heart on that. We have to say we're committed to racial unity. And I would say let's extend ourselves to people who are different than us. Let's don't just stay in our comfortable place. Let's be open to something that God's going to take us to a new place in that. So it says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So God has declared that he says a way must be made that will enable people to get to God and also allow God's glory to travel out to mankind in general. Can I just tell you something, guys? If you haven't got it till right now, we are the highway. We literally are the highway. So what's God's plan? What's plan A? The church. What's plan B? There is no plan B. There is no plan B. This is plan A. So what that means is, you know, we've had an interesting year here in 2020. Worship team, if you'd just come back up, we're going to end with a song here. 2020 was, man, what a year. Never had a year like it. We could talk, you know, and say all kinds of things. But here's what I think. In a sense, 2020, if you can hear this, I believe took us into the desert. Things were different. We should be able to hear the Lord in a new way. Because a lot of distractions, I mean, you could still get yourself, you can binge on Netflix every day and all this, but I'm saying, I think that God was saying, shaking a little bit, shaking our reality, shaking our norm, and that his heart was in my opinion, to say, prepare the way of the Lord. And even though John historically said that one time, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying it down through the corridors of time. I believe this scripture, to every generation, it speaks. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we are the highway, and we need to believe. And here's my thought. It's not like, hey, this isn't just a message on get your act together. This is a message on there's a joyful reason that we respond to God's, you know, calling in our life to see those ravines filled in, those mountains made low, those crooked places straight, and that rough places plain. Doesn't it feel inspiring to know that as we do this, as we respond to the Lord, that we become this highway? And I like to think of, honestly, as our lives are intermeshed and joined together, we become a freeway for the Holy Spirit to move on. It's a people who are saying, I will hear the voice of the Lord. I will respond to the voice of the Lord. I will say yes to the voice of the Lord. Yes, Lord, we will be your highway. And I love this quote by Judson Cornwall. God's freeway is to be built in the lives of believers. God desires to prepare you and me as a roadway that will lead from earth to heaven. From the natural to the spiritual, from the worship of man to the worship of God, and from our glory to God's glory. I wanted to just respond to the Lord today by worshiping, and we introduced a new song, Prepare the Way, very appropriately. And so we're just going to sing that again, and we just invite you to worship here. And those of us who are by live stream, please join us and worship with us. What I'd like to do is say, make this your response to the Lord this morning. Make this your response to the Lord, that we will say, we do prepare the way. We do say yes.
Ancient and old time glory. highway. We say yes,
I want us to leave inspired. I don't want us to leave beat down. I want us to believe that God can bring the transformation that He's already been bringing. It's just, you know what it is? It's just like, hey, why do we do that transformation thing? Well, first of all, because we want to be formed into the image of Christ. We want to become like Jesus. And when you become like Jesus, it just so happens that mountains of pride and valleys of unbelief, crooked paths of sin, and rough places get smoothed out. Lord, we just thank you that as a church body, Lord, as believers that are joined together, we are going to be, we are that highway. You are moving in us, through us. We say, bring it on, God. We say, we're ready for more. We're ready for more. Lord, we just say, let harmony be a highway. Let harmony be that place that connects heaven and earth. Let harmony be the place where it goes from the worship of man to the worship of God. I love that. So, Lord, we just bless you today. Thank you that you called us. We say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.